He's got a gavel there, you don't want to use it?
Nah. I get the gavel over there with Terry.
Okay, can we have a roll call, please?
Sure. Bruce Bastian. Terry Brown.
Here.
Mark Bruner.
Here.
Judy DeBursa. Greg Fagan.
Here.
Michael Fitzpatrick.
Here.
Richard Gonzalez. Glenn Harvey.
Here.
Bill Klein.
Here.
Tinu Kenya. And Myron Newman is excused. We have a quorum.
Thank you. First, we'd like to motion to adopt the agenda for today.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Okay. Any comments? If none, please indicate aye.
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Next, motion, need a motion to approve the minutes.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Comments from the chair? I don't have any at this point. CAC liaison's report.
Good afternoon, everyone. I have a few things to mention. So you have the CAC laser report in front of you. A few notes there, and I have one other one I wanted to mention about HEMA going back and forth with some of the group. So we do have a new staff member with us today. He comes from Texas, and he's going to be our pedestrian bicycle coordinator. And that's Nicholas Hernandez over here. So
Hi.
Excited to work with him.
So hi, everybody.
Welcome, Texas.
He gets that every time now, so.
Yeah.
But he brings the background of transportation. He's worked with the bike tech group there in Texas. So
yes,
it's great to have him on board.
I'm excited.
Our next, number three there, our next governing board meeting is going to be at the Lakewood Casino.
Lakewood
there on September 20th, so that's going to be a nice venue. Some other important ones for you all. Number five, pavement materials. So it was brought up a few meetings ago from CAC members about just learning more about the type of pavement we're using here in the state and how permeable it is and how it works with safety and weather conditions. We're working with FDOT trying to get some more information that's in a more easily understood format. They don't understand a lot of it about the pavement. And we'd like to give you a write-up on that, maybe a small presentation at a future CAC. And there's a little more information I had that's available so far in that brief note. National Walk to School Day is coming up on October 10th. We do have a few schools in our county participating, so if you go to walkbiketoschool.org, you can find out more, or see us afterwards, and we can find one that's doing something near you. And then lastly, I want to mention, it was brought up, we had a survey that has been distributed by us for citizens to fill out, and we distributed it to the newspaper. They ran a story on it, and then we're working throughout the county to receive feedback on it. And it was a survey that was sort of geared towards our long-range transportation plan that's going on right now. And that's not something that we're sort of like on this timeline with all these consultants to move forward with these things quickly. So it didn't really work out for us to come to you all first, which we should have done, I see. And I apologize for that. You can still be involved in the survey, and we hope to give you a better breakdown and explanation next month when Melissa Booth, our coordinator of that for outreach and public involvement, can be here to give you more of the background and answer those questions. So hopefully that, I know it doesn't suffice for you all to see it beforehand, before it was distributed. I know we're working with sort of a shortened timeline, so I think that's why we really couldn't probably go with more of these before we released it. And it was released in, are you all receiving your newsletters?
I did not.
You not get them, okay. Well, that has a lot of the updates I show for the user report. Those are the things I take in the newsletter. The survey's in there as well. So we'll be showing you sort of why it was created as the way it was, and then how much feedback we've gotten so far next month.
Any comments?
Nope.
Okay. Let me give this back to you.
Oh, okay. He gave me one.
Oh, okay. Good. The first action item is any members of the public willing to speak? See no see. Action item 2A.
So this is our first amendment for the fiscal year 19 through 23 Transportation Improvement Program. And can you pull up the summary?
Right.
Yep. So every year, you've seen amendments in the past, but this is sort of a regularly occurring amendment every year from our previously programmed Transportation Improvement Program, which was 18 through 22, and now what we're under, current out under the 19 through 23 Transportation Improvement Program. And so this is called the Roll Forward Amendment from FDOT. So FDOT comes to us with a request with a bunch of projects at once that are projects that were programmed, the phases were programmed in fiscal year 18, so these were already programmed for, but they were never funds that were allocated, used up towards those projects. So they're rolled forward in bulk to the new fiscal year of 19. And you can see the differences here. The list is rather long. A lot of these ones, you can see they're fairly small amounts for when it comes to actual single projects, the hundreds, even down to some of the just regular $1,000 or $100. And the reason for that is a lot of these are, they're all managed by FDOT. Some product manager is managing this, and they might be ones that still need to be finalized in their system. So they're still billing towards a little bit in their system, but really a lot of them are getting close to being closed out. And so when you see smaller amounts, that's really a lot of administrative tasks that need to be closed out. A bigger one I wanted to mention, which is transit, which is Section 5307 funds, that top one there. And these are federal transit funds that come to our area that get distributed to our transit authority, so Palm Beach County. And you'll see a large amount there, the difference of $16.5 million. So transit's a little bit different, where they are usually programming these funds around $16.5 a year come to our area. But transit's usually a few years back into actually spending all their money. So they have a lot of money that gets built up. So you can see their current of $22 million, and this would make up about $38 million. So they're really still spending funds back that was allocated to them back in, you know, 2017 or 2016. So this is just that 2018 amount that wasn't spent in 2018 that's rolled forward to 2019. So theirs really hovers around that $30 million range at all times for that current fiscal year. So that's just one I wanted to point out that looks a little bit, this is a little bit different than the other ones. And that's really all I have on this.
Let me ask a question. I understood the nature of all those projects except card sound poll collection. What is that project?
Yes, he's talking about halfway down the page there. I think it has to do more with, might even be on Turnpike, is that correct?
We were literally just talking about that one. I think it could be the Card Sound Bridge in Miami.
Okay.
So I'm very happy to get back to you on that.
That's why I was wondering why it was on our list.
That's a good question.
Yes, Andrew. Yes.
Northern Key Largo.
That's a good point. So
I'd be happy to work with you on that.
And we actually did send a list to FDOT pointing that comment out that it was on the list. Yeah, that's true. As you can see, this is done in bulk, so there's things that fall through the cracks from this. So that's a good one to bring up. Thank you.
I'm going to miss talking to the toll person for Card Sound. Said I'm going to miss talking to the toll person at Card Sound. It was so meaningful going into the Keys.
Yeah. And this is an option.
Okay. Comments? Questions? There are none. We need a motion for adoption. Recommended adoption.
So moved.
Michael?
Second.
Greg, second. Any comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Nays? None. Passes. B? 2B?
Another action item for you all. We wanted to show this one separately because it's not really in that roll forward. So this is going into the fiscal year 19 to 23 TIP as well. And you all might be familiar with this bridge in the paper. This is the bridge on US 1 over Emer River Bridge. So this is one that's paper a little bit ago, a few months ago, about a partial bridge collapse with the wall and part of the sidewalk. So this is FDOT coming to us for an amendment for this project, and it is going to be a full bridge replacement, so not just a modification to the bridge. And you can see right here, everything's underlined, this is a new project, but it would go into a transportation program like this. Some design funds already scheduled for 2019 and 2020, and then constructions, some funds starting up in around 2023, but then the future year has another $6.7 million, almost $6.8 million, which will be around 2024.
So it's falling down now, but they can't get to it for...
So that was a good question. So I tried to get a follow-up. I haven't got a full answer yet about what other types of quick fixes they're doing on bridge. I mean, they usually have emergency funds to dedicate towards these things, and they have dedicated some already. So right when there was a collapse there, they already had people out there working to clean up debris. But I haven't received an answer about any emergency funds outside of this, so the debris removal and what's going on now. I'm not sure if anyone else on staff might know. Do you know if there's any other emergency funds dedicated to this in the time being? Okay.
I do know.
So yeah, we're still waiting on that document.
And what's the anticipated construction time on that replacement?
The funding is out till past the current TIP, so ours is from 1923. They're looking to start construction funds around 2023, and the bulk of those construction funds are in 2024. So.
Where exactly is this bridge? Which town?
North Palm Beach.
Yes, North Palm Beach. Yes.
It's right where the IHOP is and the Frigates restaurant.
Okay.
It's where the Irwin River comes in and goes all the way back next to the North Palm Beach waterway.
Just with the PGA Boulevard.
So when they design it, are they, you know, you've been doing this complete streets work up Federal Highway, so is that a, you know, are they putting all the widths they need to make that quality kind of complete street, whatever, streetscape thing?
Mm-hmm. The staff is being persistent with this and making sure that we can incorporate that into the new design of this bridge. Yes.
Any other comments? Need a motion for recommended approval?
So moved.
Second.
Any other comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Nays? None. Okay. Let's see.
Okay. So, see here, another action item for you. We have a lot today, a lot of amendments. This one's going to be amendment number 8 to our long-range transportation plan. So that's our 2040 long-range transportation plan, our cost feasible plan, and these are our turnpike widenings. And you've seen a version of this before. They're coming back to you today to give you some more information, with cost estimates and some of those new descriptions of those. So we have the turnpike staff here that can go through this one for you.
Thank you, Andrew. My name is Victoria Williams. I work for the Turnpike, and I am the liaison to the TPA. And I'm very happy to be here today with our team, our planning manager, David Cook, who's in the back of the room, and one of our top traffic engineers is here to explain some of the technical pieces, and his name is Andrew Velazquez. And we're going to go over a presentation with some of the summary points of the Turnpike projects in Palm Beach County.
Thanks, Victoria. So as Andrew mentioned, you did see a version of this last year, probably last February, where the CAC did approve the LRTP amendment to increase the number of lanes based on what we're seeing now, to basically show more lanes now than what we had before. So that all happened. I think now it's really kind of, the cost has changed. There's an increase in cost But just a reminder that, you know, there is a already approved LRTP amendment from this committee. But I'm going to go through kind of what we have going on now, what are our funded projects, and then here are the list of the unfunded projects, kind of a brief overview of what we're doing at some of the interchanges, as well as with the express lanes. We have some new material about how express lanes are going to be delivered in Palm Beach County, and then some new policy, really more favorable to people who are traveling the express lanes. So this is basically a map showing the turnpike in Palm Beach County, 45 miles in length, 10 interchanges serving the western communities. It's actually comprised of two systems. We have what we call the Southern Hawaiian System. That's basically South Boynton Beach to the south. And then we have what's normally known as the ticket system. Now, these names are probably going to change a little bit because we are, as I'll introduce, going to an all-electronic tolling version, like the Card Sound Bridge. So the ticket system, used to have to, get on and pick up the ticket and get off. That's going to go away. So we'll actually talk about that in the next slide. So we have two projects in the TIP, and one of them, this widening project that's going to be implemented starting this year. We're going to start construction this fiscal year, and that's from basically Boynton Beach Boulevard to Lantana Road. Those of you that drive the turnpike probably have seen where the road goes from six lanes and then narrows down to four, and if you're ever there in any sort of afternoon conditions, it's really bad, lots of crashes, a huge safety problem for us. So we're going to go ahead and widen that piece, and associated to that, we're going to be converting this part of the system, what we call the ticket, to all electronic tolling, where there will be no more booths, they'll be going away. There are going to be mainline gantries between each of the interchanges to basically all collect your toll electronically. If you have a SunPass, great, you get the discount. If you don't have a SunPass, we'll bill you, just like on the other parts of the system that have gone electronic. So this is all going to happen starting this fiscal year. So we're really excited about getting the first of several widening projects in Palm Beach. Now this first project, we're going to widen it to six, but the project description does say eight. That's because we're going to reserve that seventh and eighth lane for when we do the rest of the widening projects in Palm Beach County. So here is our project list of what we got going on. So lots of things going on kind of behind the scenes right now as we sort of work our way through getting the conceptual designs and then start working our way to actually showing this to the committees, to the cities, the counties, through all the public outreach. So we have a number of widening projects, and the stars indicate where the interchanges are going to be evaluated. So these widenings vary from up to 10 lanes on the southern portion of the county to up to 8 lanes on the northern portion of the county. So right now we're going through a process of really evaluating the typical sections, seeing how we can accommodate these additional lanes. We're looking at the interchanges in detail. We're looking at some conceptual designs, and then as these projects become more involved, and we will actually come to the CAC and the TAC and do all of our public outreach to present what we're looking at in terms of these interchanges.
How does this integrate with things like the State Road 80 corridor changes?
Yes.
Because there'd be an impact.
You're right, absolutely. So with State Road 80, and that's a good example. Jump in and jump back. State Road 80 is one of the interchanges, Southern Boulevard, that we were evaluating. We were actually looking at putting some new additional ramps, and what we decided is for these widening projects, we're going to hold off on that and then just do some intersection stuff until the PDME for that corridor starts, and then work with the district to come up with whatever that ultimate solution is. So that's not part of this our current widening, but it'll be part of a future project. These are all the interchanges that we're looking at. So, Glades Road, Boynton Beach, Jog Road, Okeechobee, D-Line, Stairwood 710, and PJ Boulevard all have some sort of alternative that looks at some sort of ramp reconfiguration. Some of them we haven't really fleshed out too much. I think PJ is probably a good example. We have a concept there, but we're also looking at kind of like a modified existing interchange configuration. The ones without the stars in this column, we'll be looking to add turn lanes. And again, as we get further along, we're going to start really showing you, okay, this is what we're looking at, here's the operation analysis, and all that, et cetera, et cetera.
Lake Worth Road doesn't have anything?
Yes. Lake Worth Road, we just went through a interchange upgrade there a few years ago. If you remember, we added those ramps on the west side. So right now, we're not seeing kind of a need for that.
Okay.
We know that there's an additional westbound right, but I think that's being proposed by others. So again, that's it. That's exactly the reason why we kind of already looked at that one. But all these other ones, we're taking another fresh look at. With the widenings, so why do we need to widen? Our projections are clearly showing that. Right now we have periods of congestion and a lot of the turnpike system in Palm Beach County. Particularly near the Glaze Road interchange, we see a lot of issues there, a lot of crashes. I actually showed that in the TAC. I didn't bring it with me, but if you guys wanted to get to it, we can show it later. And then that stretch, the four-lane stretch between Lantana. What you're seeing is a graph with here's the interchanges and then the number of lanes that are needed and then what their year of need is. Our first analysis here is 2020. So when I say we have existing conditions, our congestion needs, that doesn't get any earlier than that, but these are the areas where we really see some problems today. But yeah, obviously you need them in 2020. And then the colors kind of indicate that year of need, and then we have basically the year, and then the number of lanes. So basically what we're seeing here is between Sample, or the Broward County line, and Boynton Beach Boulevard, by 2030, we're projecting a need for 10 lanes to accommodate the growth that we're seeing. On average, it's been about 4% per year. We're projecting roughly around 2% in the future. So we're even projecting lower growth than we've seen in the last 15 years. On the northern portion of the county, those lane needs go away. Traffic does dissipate as you go further north. So, you know, you've got the 8-lane need basically up to Palm Beach Gardens and then kind of that 6-lane need north of there. So what we're looking to do is, this is kind of our ultimate build-out, that 10-lane. We did a feasibility study to see how many lanes we could actually fit. And that's really about as much as we can accommodate. And, you know, we see that even with some other projects that are in Broward County, that's influencing, you know, that kind of demand. And so that's why we're requesting kind of the 10 lanes south of Boyd, and that's what we're seeing right now. North of there, we did the PD&E study up to Indiantown Road for 8, realizing that you only really need 6 between PJ and Indiantown. We've looked at it, and the cost differential between 6 and 8 is really not worth us going back and redoing it. So, you know, we're looking to deliver the 8. We do realize that the need is really for the 6. With express lanes, there's been some changes since maybe the last time we were here. Lots of changes with policy and how they're going to be delivered. And it was really more towards like last legislative session that some of these changes have come about. But you know, express lanes aren't new to Florida. They're not new in the country. A lot of people realize the benefits of having express lanes to provide you that long-term mobility. You have other lanes that can't carry the traffic or have the reliability, at least have one lane that they're able to manage with pricing. So right now we have 59 miles of express lane in operation. The Turnpike has already won open on the Veterans Expressway. Project's been open since basically last year, I believe, is the first segment opened up, and then the second segment opened up this year. So that's been really good for us. As you know, 595 and 75 in South Florida have opened up, and then kind of here's the South Florida network of all the things that are under development in Southeast Florida. So they do provide that choice. I think I mentioned that earlier, and it does provide you a more reliable travel time. We see this as a way to kind of give you a long-term travel demand solution. Now, there's not a lot of things you can do once you reach capacity. You've reached your maximum build-out. There's other strategies like ramp metering or hard shoulder running or integrated core management. Those are all what we call, you know, TSMNO or transportation systems management. Express lanes is one of those tools in the toolbox you can use. So, you know, the key here is that it's going to be tied to
the number of vehicles in the express lane, the price that you'll pay, and that's going to help kind of manage that demand. Some new policy, transit exceptions, this is new. There really wasn't a formalized exception policy for buses. Now registered buses on the interstate system will have pay free, no tolls for them. On the turnpike, there'll be no tolls to use the express lanes, no additional tolls, but you still pay to get on and off like everybody else does. So you do have to register with South Florida Community Services, transit buses, school buses, overhead buses, and there was a discussion earlier where paratransit would be able to use it, and I think that answer was yes. So that's kind of good.
I have a question regarding that. They used to be able to give a free, if you had a hybrid vehicle or electric vehicle, is that still going to be possible or is it going to be eliminated?
On I-95, it's still going to be possible.
You still have to register?
Yes. Those exemptions will carry forward through on I-95. Now, Vicki, is it the hybrids? Are hybrids going to
be possible? Yeah, I have a Lexus hybrid and it's registered.
Right.
So I'm just wondering, if someone told me in Miami that they're going to eliminate it.
Yeah. It will, in the future, it will phase out. It was intended to encourage people to start buying and using those types of cars, and it's been successful. So my understanding is the federal government is starting to consider phasing them out. It had to do with thresholds of sales of those kinds of cars.
Right.
The Turnpike, however, never would allow those exceptions.
Yeah, it was on
I-95.
It's just
I-95.
Yes,
just
I-95.
Okay.
And may phase out in the future.
So what about shifting as opposed to...
There's going to be an explosion in the purchase of electric cars, and then they're going to get rid of the benefit.
Right, but so I guess that brings up a point, right? Hybrid, I understand. But electric cars, you know, I'd be sweating if I was in an electric car and you got stacked by traffic. I'm stuck in there.
Yeah.
So does it make sense to, you know, maybe not do the full rip and replace or rip out and just, you know, transition a little bit further down that spectrum to just include electric cars?
It's a good comment. Those would be federal rules, Federal Highway Administration. Perhaps we could get our district to research and provide some input for the question. But on the turnpike, with the tolls funding all the projects and the laws there, it would not apply.
Yeah, it's an extension of what already exists on I-95 now. They're going to carry it up as those 95 express lanes go north. Those exemptions will carry over those projects. This actually came about last legislative session about pricing considerations for turnpike express lanes. And some of you may know, but if you don't, the way that demand is managed in the express lanes currently on I-95 is based on the number of vehicles in the express lane. So the more traffic in the express lanes, the higher the tolls. That's how it operates today, 95. All express lanes operate that statewide. With the turnpike, what we're doing is a new level service-based policy where the tolls will go up as congestion goes up in the express lanes, but at certain level service thresholds, there will be no tolls. So at level service A, you just pay the general toll. Then at level service B, we'll introduce a very small 25-cent increment, and then at level service C, we'll kind of spike that up. But what does that really mean? I should have left my last graphic here. We have our Veterans Express lanes open in Miami. Tampa. This is the Turnpike Express lanes. So under this policy, between 6 a.m. and 10 a.m., you'll be in level service B, C, and D. Outside of that, it's level service A. So for 20 hours out of the day, there's no charge to use the express lanes. Only when you start getting into those peak periods that you start to see that. That's what we'll see here in Palm Beach County as well. We have highly peak conditions, so during those morning commutes, during the peak direction, you'll see that. Afternoon, you'll see that as well. On the one in Tampa, it's level service A for 20 hours, level service B for 2 hours, level service C for 2 hours, and level service D for 1 hour. So really, you know, you can expect there to be some increases during times when people need it the most, but that's when we need to manage that demand the most.
Curiosity question. I see the $25 plus toll for a toll violation. What sets that, Florida statute?
Yeah, yeah, that's in there now, an administrative rule.
How is it a toll violation when they're doing, divide?
You can't use, it's all, some paths only for express lanes.
So it's not even pay by tag?
No, no pay by tag in the express lanes, that's what that means. So, the way it works is it's once per month, which is nice, because some people could zip up and down those things and, you know, rack up a $500 bill before they know it. They don't have a SunPass transponder. So, I mean, that's where we're kind of being a little generous with that, I believe, when we set those. There was a really lot of discussion about how that would work. This also applies to people who don't even have, you know, toll by plate capabilities, so, you know, the viable platers and all that kind of stuff.
You say they will pay 25 cents more than the general toll. So that whatever the toll is, it's only 25 cents more, regardless of the distance?
Regardless of the distance, it's going to be based.
The distance creates the base.
Yes, the segment creates the base.
Right.
So wherever, I think I have a slide here which shows what those segments are. So once you get on and once you get off, that kind of creates a segment.
Right.
For instance here, we'll let you get on at Boynton Beach and then you can get off at Delray, Atlanta. That segment will be 25 cents in addition to whatever you pay at the mainline gantry. In Palm Beach County, we're only having a mainline gantry at that Lantana mainline plaza. So if you got on north of Boynton, you would pay whatever that mainline amount is, and then plus the 25 cents. If you got on Atlantic and you went to the Sawgrass, there's no mainline barrier, so you wouldn't pay anything. It'd be zero on the side. You paid when you got on at the interchanges, but you don't pay when you get on to use the express lane.
What kind of algorithm and model do you use when you're dynamically pricing?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is it based on the total traffic count on all the lanes, or how do you do that? I guess one reason I'm asking that is I remember reading something a while back about one of the dynamic pricing systems, I guess, around the Washington, D.C. area, where the numbers got incredibly high.
Yes.
When the traffic got real heavy. And I'm wondering how you go about dynamically pricing those tolls.
Sure. So it's based on level service. Level service, by definition, volume over speed. So the number of vehicles that are measured versus the speed that they're going at, that gives you what's called density. Density has a direct correlation to level service according to the Highway Capacity Manual. As those thresholds change, so like every 15 minutes there's a measurement. Let's say you're at your density is at 12, and you go up to 18, so that's like a change in six density points, or whatever you want to call it. There's a table, a lookup table, an algorithm says it's going to go up by a quarter or go up by 50 cents within predefined thresholds for each level of service. So, you know, right now there'll be like a maximum per segment established. At level service A, it'll stay at 0, B, 25. C, it might go from 25 to a dollar, and D might go from a dollar to $2, and then E will go from $2 to $3, or 2 to 5, depending on your max goal, something like that.
I've read where in Miami there was an agreement, either on I-95 or the Turnpike, that the toll wouldn't go above this. And since they're at that maximum, the density in the express lanes is matching the density
and
the general purpose.
Yeah, they have some pretty severe conditions in that one segment on Miami-Dade, I-95, that's exactly
what's
what
you're
talking about. Right now the max is 1050.
Yeah.
And it's reaching the max. The reason why that happens is, if you're familiar with the Golden Glades interchange, that spaghetti of an interchange, it's so congested at the end of the express lane as you try to get out to get to the turnpike or other local exits, it backs up into the express lanes. And that forces the traffic to stop. So it's a function of everybody trying to get out at that one point. So what we're doing, we've been
That's where they do the number calculation right there?
They do. They do, right? It's based on the average. Yeah, it's based on the average. So there's detectors on the side of the road that calculate the volume over speed, and it's every third mile. So if it backs up for, you know, half of it and they're stopped, that's all going to get weighted into that calculation. One of the things that we're working with them on is to kind of close that gap, if you will, and create a direct flyover to the turnpike. So that project is funded in a work program, basically to eliminate the weaving movements and kind of clear that up. That's a very unique animal. A lot of people like to use 95 as an example, but if you look at 595, the minimum toll hasn't gone above 50 cents. That expressway's been open for 3 years. It works great. 75, beautiful. 95 expressways, the second part in Broward County, working really well. So you know, some of these where you have these bottlenecks, and that's a really bad interchange, you know, kind of a bad example.
That still works pretty well. If you still want to pay the 1050 to avoid that mess.
Right. Yeah.
Andrew, could you elaborate for the committee about, although turnpike toll limit is unconstrained, what happens at the 45 mile an hour?
Oh, yes. That's another legislative session change. So what else happened out of this last year's legislative session was not only did we change the pricing scheme, but the other thing was that if the speeds in the express lanes go below 40 miles an hour, there'll be no premium toll. You'll go back to your minimum toll. In this case, zero for a turnpike. On the 95, it'll be 50 cents. So that comment about, shoot, I'm stuck. What's going to happen retroactively, they're going to go in and give the people the credit. So instead of them paying the 1050, they'll pay 50 cents.
Okay.
Yeah,
but that's unfortunate because when, you know, I'm coming off the airport and take that road all the time, it's kind of, you think, oh man, it's going to be easy sailing. Otherwise, we wouldn't get on that road because yes. It would want the exit and take a different way out. So it's leads to a misrepresentation.
It's we're still going to display the dynamic price. So it will still say 1050 on the sign because it's supposed to manage congestion.
Unless it goes below 45.
If it goes below 40, it'll still say 1050 on the sign.
Thank you. What's yes, gonna, 40. I misspoke.
40.
Thank you.
It's 40. What's going to happen is after the fact, we run the numbers, we do the calculations. Oh, that was below 40 for that 115 minute, 530 to 545. We're going to make a toll rate adjustment.
Oh, great.
That's going to happen afterwards. We don't want to show 50 because everybody's
going to be
in
your
life.
That would be below 40.
Right. So it's very favorable because, you know, that's what people were saying. Just like you said, oh, I'm in these lanes and I'm going, you guys, it's happened to me. The general purpose lanes are going faster. And so we're trying to come up with these policies to help it more favorable to some of the concerns that people have had. Price being one of them on the turnpike, express lanes, how, you know, why are you going to, or do you need an additional toll? So we've got basically no additional toll. The minimum speed, so a lot of good things coming out of it.
I'm just glad those barriers are flexible. Guys just drive over them.
Yes.
I'm just kidding. Totally kidding.
These, by the way, have been changed. I don't know if you've driven out of Miami lately. They've been changed to the newer models. They are bigger, and they will actually damage your car. The big ones you could, or the previous ones you could drive over. These, I don't know. I'd be wary.
So is that your new attempt to a new type of fine? Personal fine.
Exactly. And we're spacing them closer. We went from, when they first opened express lanes, it was 20 feet from between the pylons, markers. And that's because FHWA said that's what we wanted, even though the district said we wanted 10. First day they opened, people cutting through all of them. Then like a week later, they made them 10 feet. And that still wasn't enough, so now they're 5 feet. That's the new standard with the thick ones. Since they put those in, they've seen the lay diving and all that kind of stuff, that's gone down dramatically. I think that they were saying something like 90% reduction in that lay diving, which is really good.
Wow.
We have one that we've, I don't know, I show a picture, but the one on the veterans that we opened up in Tampa, we're not seeing anybody really do that. So it's really nice.
Is it a function of capacity of the roadway, was it requirement or the driver?
Both. Miami drivers are very aggressive.
Yes.
Tampa drivers are okay. There's still some congestion at the end of the veterans, and they're not doing it. It's a little bit of both. All right, so with how we're gonna deliver express lanes in Palm Beach County, I explained to you earlier about like some on the northern portion of the county, we're not really seeing that much demand for, let's say, the 8 lanes. So we started kind of re-strategizing how we're going to deliver express lanes. What we're going to do is we're going to widen to create the footprint And in some of these areas, we're going to delay, we're going to keep the room there for those, express lane markers, the 4 feet, but we're going to put that on the shoulder. And then in a future project, like a resurfacing project, we'll come in and we'll deliver the express lanes. So what we're seeing here is we kind of developed some criteria about when that would occur. It really depends on how many projects you're delivering. If it's like one short little 5 mile or 3 mile project, does it make sense to open that up as an express lane just to have people come in and come out? So we're kind of looking at, you want to group those up into projects. Is there some sort of express lane to express lane connection? Like, are you like connecting to a system? That, in that case, you're probably going to want to, you know, have it open to traffic. What about, you know, the corridor? If you widen the road to its full width or ultimate width, like for instance, 8 lanes in the northern portion, but you're still level service wise, you're really good until way out, do we really need to have the express lanes there day one? Or can we wait? So what we're doing is we've done this analysis and we're taking two approaches in Palm Beach County. On the southern portion, that's a series of 6 projects, 25 miles length, and it includes a direct connect with the Sawgrass Southwest 10 Turnpike Mainline Interchange. If we were to widen only, we would kind of reach our level service D threshold by 2030. Right now, we're targeting probably a 2030 opening. So what we're thinking is, and what we're going to do, is build all these projects, these 6 projects, and if one of them opens up, let's say in 2027, that will open up until as general lane capacity. But then as these other ones start coming together, we'll come in with a project down the road to tie them all together to kind of just connect that as one express lane system. So that's going to happen in the southern portion of the corridor. On the northern portion of Palm Beach County, right now there's 2 widening projects that comprise of that, 22 miles in length. We're not really seeing that triggering point until 2040, 2045. So we're going to hold off. We're just going to widen the road, no express lanes. We'll deliver it when it's needed, when the road reaches level service D, to provide more of a long-term benefit.
What happens between Boynton and Lake Worth?
We have a break. We have a break in the express lanes. The Lake Worth Service Plaza, that is, Turnpike's position and approach is trying to carry express lanes through those plazas means you have to like grade the ramps and create some sort of overpass system. We looked at kind of the benefit versus the cost, and it's a lot of cost to put all these bridges just to continue the express lanes. So what we're doing is we're ending the express lanes, going back to kind of a general, and then starting the express lanes again where you have these service plazas in the middle.
So the kind of backup you have at Lantana now, is that going to just shift to where you have service plazas?
The backup to Lantana now, when we widen with a project that's going to be like this fiscal year, 2019, that's going to take us up to Lake Worth. North of Lake Worth, we're going to have problems. It's only 4 lanes. We got to come in with the future widenings. So yes, we're going to have problems north of Lake Worth. We have problems there today.
But will you always have them where you have service plazas?
No, we've done analysis. Like, so when you widen, we've looked at kind of that area where we have a break in the express lanes, and we can make people, go back to general capacity. You provide sufficient room on either side, and we can make the operations work in the future, because everything will be kind of widened to that full footprint. And so we're seeing that we can do that with just the widening through this service plaza.
So at Boynton Beach Boulevard, the express lane is stuck.
North of Boynton. North of Boynton. We're stuck just north of Boynton, like right around right around the Lantana barrier. Yeah.
Now, the Lantana barrier is going away when?
As part of that all electronic tolling conversion. So that's going to be a
couple of years.
2021, 2022-ish.
Right, so that'll be a gantry at that
point. It'll just be a gantry. And that'll be like entry point for the people who want to go southbound. That'll be the first point they'll be able to get in. That's going to be their gantry for the express lane. We're setting it up so we can use that gantry for express lane tolling.
Right. So, but north of that gantry will be how many lanes? 6?
8.
8?
Yep.
8 in service without express lanes.
All right. So The project that's in 2019.
Right.
Will widen to 6. We have another project that's going to widen to 8 when all the widening from Lake Worth to Okeechobee occurs, and then from Lake Worth south occurs. So
we build it to 8, mark it for 6.
Just that one little piece is built to 8, mark for 6. Just that one project. Let's see here. Yeah, right here.
Yeah.
Build to 8, mark for 6. And then when the other projects come north and south, we'll provide that 7th and 8th lane because the pavement are ready to be there. It's supposed to be like a restriping project.
So we'll go from 10 south of Boynton Beach Boulevard to Express, 3
general lanes.
Yep. Up into Ada.
Yep. Yep.
So you could have a backup there.
We're not seeing any. Our forecasts indicate that it's going to work fairly well. So 10 basically takes you up to Boynton Beach. And then you have, this is kind of where the start of your express lanes are. That's the future map of Luxo interchange we're going to be studying. And then you have 8 north of there.
All general projects.
All general lanes, yes. Okay. Our forecasts, our operational analysis indicate that it operationally will be fine.
Now what happens with the capacity?
On the
2045.
Yeah, on the northern portion?
On any, when you get to capacity, which is 10 lanes south of Boynton,
yeah,
and 8 lanes north of Boynton.
So here, let's imagine it's 2045. We have express lanes in operation. The 2 express lanes, 3 general lanes. The 3 general lanes are going to be not so good. The 2 express lanes, our goal is to be level service D and always have that available to you during the peak periods. On the northern portion, let's say 2045 is out there, we see that triggering point, we want to have express lanes, we're looking at 2 and 2. The general lanes will not be so good. The express lanes, we're going to try to keep it level service D. If, assuming everything goes the way it's supposed to go, no benefits through, we had a conversation about autonomous vehicles and all that earlier and what that's going to do. But that's the current plan at this point.
And so the build out south is 10, the build out north is 8?
Yes, yes. Right.
The ultimate build out.
Build out, yes. That's what we're saying.
So we end up being Miami.
So you end up being Miami. In a way. You know, I-95 has 10 lanes today. It's had 10 lanes since they started with, I think, the last widening finished, yep, 10 years ago.
Yeah, but I mean, we're talking 20 years from now. 25 years.
All right, so talk a little bit about, this is kind of what we're thinking right now. This is our preliminary ingress egress plan. So if you can imagine the Lantana main lines right there. You get on, north of Lantana, you have Boynton Beach, people can get in. You travel about 4 or 5 miles before you'd be able to get out. I believe it's 6 miles between Atlantic and Glades and 4 between Atlantic and Wooden. Then you'd be able to jump back on at Atlantic, takes you down, be able to get off the access to Sawgrass and some of the general lanes, and then you have the access for the people coming north to get to Glades or get south. This is the Sawgrass Expressway, Southwest 10th. I don't know if you guys have heard, but this Harbor Transportation District 4 just got some funding to deliver that project. That's an extension of the Sawgrass Expressway as a limited access facility to connect to I-95. That's going to be an express lane, managed lane type of facility. We're working really closely with the department, District 4, so how that interchange is going to look here. We're looking at direct connects and express lane direct connects to take you from the Turnpike main line south to west on Sawgrass. That's a very heavy movement. A lot of people making that movement. That's going to have direct connects. We're also looking at some direct access from the express lanes from the north to go east. That's another very heavy movement. So all that's kind of underway right now. That's in PDD at this point.
That would be the section where the big Public's warehouse is.
Correct.
Southwest 10. And you're going to be able to get enough lanes in there?
Yeah.
Right away looks pretty.
Yeah, it's tight, but we're, you know, they're going to be up in the air at that point over Military Trail. We've met with Publix on how that's all going to work. There's an intersection at Newport, familiar there. They're actually really happy with our plan. They're excited about, you know, making improvements there because it's a bear.
And getting those trucks out of there.
Yeah. So we've done some things to make it better for the Publix people to get in and out.
Just another question that's probably not so much for discussion today, but last year when we talked about this, that there was an issue of the drainage on canals next to the turnpike now in the right of way. If you're talking 10 lanes south and 8 lanes north, and I've been on that turnpike with 10 inches of rain, and that water is almost up to the surface. What's going to happen there? How are they going to pull all that water away?
The plan is to bulkhead the canals. Right now there's embankment on both sides of the canal.
Right.
And so we're going to go into the Lake Worth Drainage District and put a wall. It's called a bulkhead wall. It's basically a vertical wall that'll provide, you know, kind of that ability to keep your water flow still. And then kind of redo the west side. And that's how we're able to extend the road out. That project that's going to be under construction this fiscal year, that's the approach they're taking. And we met with Lake Worth had all the agreements. They like it because you only have to maintain one side now. You have a wall on the other side. They don't have to, you know, worry about all the erosion and everything like that.
And they're not worried about the capacity of the water going in there. They know they can take care of it.
Yeah. There's treatment and all that kind of stuff.
And so there's in the north part of the county, along those that turnpike canal, do you have positive outfall everywhere?
It
percolates right down.
Some of it's within the drainage swale, some of it goes to ponds, some of it, you know, we're not treating it directly into the canals. It gets treated. There's going to be like a maintenance area. So you have the end of the road, and then you have your kind of grass area.
Yeah.
Actually, a wall, and then grass, and then another wall. So,
I just didn't know if you were tied into Northern Palm Beach County Improvement District canals and South Indian and all those places up there that manage the drainage. If you had outfall at all of those, or some of it, you still have to manage yourself in there, right?
Yeah, some of it we have to manage ourselves, and then it gets percolated into there. But it's a lot of work to be able to try to figure all that drainage stuff out, and that's why it takes us a while to get these things done. I think that's all I had. So this is the plan.
I got a few questions. I was curious about how you determine density, and you said you got sensors in every third mile.
Yep.
This isn't maybe your area of expertise, but how does Google Maps do it? I was hypothesizing they use pings off of cell towers to see how fast you move along. You know, they change that. Do you have any idea?
Yeah, so we use third-party data like what Google Maps does. There's different ways you can do it. You can get it from your cell phone where you have, let's say you subscribe to Google Maps and it's tracking your location via your GPS. It's also collecting your speed.
That's what I thought.
And so that's how they're able to do that. Google Maps does not do volume. Only those things on the side of the road can do volume. They can only do speed. So that red, you know, yellow, green, that's all based on speed.
Sure.
It's not based on density or volume.
So if the 8 lanes, you're building 8 lanes and striping 6, do the lanes that you build that don't use, do they deteriorate over time, or how many, you know, I mean, asphalt's a natural product, it's been around forever, material, but
right.
Does UVs destroy it, or?
So the way we'll handle that is you lay your base, and then you kind of put your initial asphalt, and then there's like that friction course. The friction course will deteriorate if you don't drive on it. So what they'll do is on the shoulder areas, you won't put the friction course. It'll look like a regular shoulder. So just like you see on the side of any interstate, you have that paved shoulder, it's going to be like that, but extra wide. It won't deteriorate. Only the part that the friction course deteriorates. And if you lay that down and you don't drive on it, you're right, it will deteriorate over time.
Okay. So how are you paying for all this? How much Palm Beach County tax money, gas tax money.
Yeah, everything's paid through tolls. These are financed.
So it's all strictly tolls, so no, no gas money. Okay. That's it.
Yes. Anybody else have any questions? Thank you very much.
Sure.
Clarification, this is an action item as well. And then for you all, this is how we'll look at our long-range transition plan. So you can see the strike-throughs were once sort of how it was before, and then the how it would be with the amendments, or the underlying. So the term is a little different because from what you see in the letter that they provided. But you can see here from Broward County line to Boynton Beach, it's the going from 6 lanes to 8 lanes, now 6 to 10 with express lanes, and that cost difference. And then the same for the ones on the bottom there, the turnpike from Boynton Beach to Lake Worth, and then the Palm Beach Service Plaza to Beeline Highway, both being 4 to 8 lanes, express lanes. And then that last section, north is Beeline Highway to Indian Town Road, and that would be the widening from 4 to 8 lanes without express lanes. And there's new cost estimates are in that final column there.
One question. I thought you said from Lake Worth north, there would be no express lanes.
Yes, when we build it.
Well, Lake Worth north, yes. And yet you're showing
with
between Boynton and Lake Worth express lanes, and between the toll plaza and the Beeline express lanes.
Yeah, so this one we're not going to be implementing express lanes, and that's that delayed, deferred implementation. The reason why it's kept in the description is because that's how it's in the Turnpike Work Program. We're just keeping it as a placeholder in the description.
Okay.
Same here. It's like, well, why didn't we say with express lanes? And that's just the way it's in it. And we're going to go through an LRTP update, and I think that's what we'll probably add the express lanes as a future thing. But it's not going to be part of the project. It's just going to be in the description. And so at some point in the future, it'll be there.
So that's the way to go down today, with these strike-throughs and then those new underlines on number six.
Okay. Motion.
Make a motion with adoption number 8.
Second.
Any other comments? All in favor?
I'm sorry, who seconded that? Was it? Oh,
Terry. Any other comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Nays? Passes. D.
So D is a little spin-off of this, the last one we just had. Mark, can you bring up the timeline again that these standards have? Sure. So as Andrew mentioned, we just did those amendments to our long-range transition plan. A lot of those are further out. The one that he mentioned that's actually happening this year is from Boynton Beach Boulevard to Lake Worth Road. So that needs a change to the transportation improvement program as well. So that's our appropriate document. So this will be a change to our 19 to 23 TIP. And it's again going to change that restriction from 4 to 6 lanes to 4 to 8 lanes with express lanes. That's what it shows in the turnpike plan.
Comments on this? Motion.
$1.775 billion.
Where is it?
Total for the
1775 billion. Yes. It's 1.775 billion.
That's the entire total.
That's it. So your total dollars are fine.
You want to keep that beam wherever they're
The construction period for the entirety will be finished 2030. Round numbers.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good endpoint.
So 12 years.
Yeah.
So doing interchanges also.
Including or implicating beyond?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Need a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Tina and Craig and Tina. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Nays? Passes. Next.
This is a last action item for the agenda. This is the fiscal year 20 to 24 annual list of priority projects. So this is a required list, and this is an important time in the programming process for us all. You can update the TIF and the work programs throughout the year, but to really set the priorities moving forward and to make sure everything on schedule, it's best to have it done through this priority price time frame. So this is an official adoption of that. And so I'm going to go through a few of the projects we have in our priority list this year and the changes from last year. And just to restate our mission here, the word prioritize is in it. The collaborative plan, prioritize, and fund the transition system. So we're doing that today through this priority list. And there's El Rio Trail, there's a picture that was one of the ones that was partially funded with TPA funds passed. Timeline for the priority list, and then also how it feeds into the draft work program and then feeding into our transportation improvement program. So where we're at today, September, this priority list, and then if that is approved, adopted by our governing board this month, it's sent to FDOT to work with, and then they evaluate the available funding sources for the next 5 years, and then create their draft tentative work program based off that funding and the priorities we give them. And then from that work program, later on the following year, it says 2019 there, for May and June, we have our draft TIP that you all review, and then finally we all adopt in around June. And then that is under operating under fiscal year 20 to 24, July 1st, 2019. That the same fiscal year there. So this is an important part of the process up front that really sets the, you know, the agenda for the next MP. So types of projects that we have in our priority list, there's three major product categories. Our major projects, which is from our LRTP, and that's based on the goals and values in our LRTP, and we have roughly around $40 million a year to allocate towards that. And that's primarily state funds. Main sources there, this is good pay revenue, statewide fuel tax, public transit funds. And there's some federal transition funds as well for those projects. Then we have local initiatives and transition alternatives, which is our two federally funded programs through surface transition funds. And we receive about $20 million a year for local initiatives, another roughly $3 million for transportation alternatives. And those are ones that are in this list today for you all to see. So in your packet, you should this is something new this year that was actually brought up by all of you at the CAC last year, that you all wanted to make sure that we sort of know the direction of where our long-range transition plan projects are going, as well as our local initiatives and transition alternatives. So in there, after the summary of the priority list, there are status tables for those three main sections. And in there, you'll see the cost feasible projects for in our LRTP, their rank, their score, and their current status. And then the same for local initiatives and transportation alternatives with the ranking, the staff score, and their current status. So when you're looking through there, you also see all those applications that we received this past year for 2018, and then they'll be the last rows in those status reports and how they're moving forward and recommended in this priority list. And I'll go through those in a little bit in a second. So just a summary, major projects, not too many changes going on this priority list that we have for recommendations. Roughly $200 million target. Right now we're at around $100 million that's already programmed. The reason for that is that we have a lot of projects that still need to make their way into the programming phase, for especially this major construction on this project. So in current priorities, we have $646 million if we wanted to fully implement everything that's currently on our priority list. So there's no suggested additions to the priority list for new projects for this year. But we do have a split of one of our current projects in there. So you all have seen our consultants came by a few months ago. We had a year-long US 1 multimodal corridor study. And in that, we had various recommendations for improvements along the US 1 corridor. So we show that as a bulk line item in our priority list. But this year, we are also going to split out a few of them to start really getting going on those projects for implementation. And we split out roughly $20 million from our ones that were our tier one projects from that multimodal corridor study. And three of those are land repurposing in Lake Worth, North Palm, and West Palm for US 1. And with those, of course, we still need to work with the cities for local resolutions, and then also to see if land repurposing is a viable option through a traffic study in those areas. And so that would need to have that approval as well. So those are the ones that have been split up into their own line items as their own specific projects in the priority list. Local initiatives, so the competitive application process. We had 11 for local initiatives, 6 proposed for inclusion, and then through this process, we usually find ones that still have some design issues that need to be worked out and can maybe be submitted next year or other following years. And then we had 2 that did not submit resolutions of support. So those are ones as well that if they would like to come back next year, they could reapply and have all those documents in place. We want to make sure that those are all in place because these are in the transportation realm for getting projects done. You know, we want these in a shorter time frame. So we don't want delays in those projects. It's why we want everything up front. Also, a new one in there for a line would be the addition of funds to support the TPA planning administration. And this is mostly geared towards us transitioning to an independent agency and also finding space downtown. And that's ongoing. Those have not been finalized about space and that transition process, but we're working through that now. This would dedicate some of the surface transportation dollars that we currently use towards local initiatives for more of those planning and administrative roles for the TPA. And then modifications to existing priority projects. You know, when you go into the process and we have some more in-depth design, other issues come about. So we had this first one, Santa Fe Drive in New England, were both bridge replacements. There's 4 bridge replacements total in that project. So 2 of them could not be completed because of Lake Worth Drainage District issues. So those would be deleted. And then.
What do you mean issues?
The types of improvements that we need to do within the Lake Worth Drainage District right away was cost prohibitive for us. It'd be too. Nope. Nick's going to correct me here.
So we wanted to replace these 2 bridges. And Lake Worth said, if you want to replace the bridge over our canal, you have to rebuild the bank of the canal on the approaches to the bridge. And the reconstruction of the bank was inconveniently on private property. Mm-hmm. But Lake Worth said, go figure out how to get the land or the ability to build the canal bank on those private properties if you want to replace those bridges.
So we said, work?
We can't buy those pieces of land, and we can't work in private property, so we had to cancel these 2 projects.
Unfortunate.
It is unfortunate.
That's good. Thanks.
So these are on New England and on Sandalwood?
Yes.
Where are they located?
Unincorporated Western Boca Raton.
Yep. East of 441?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. So the result is they're not going to be replaced at this time?
At this time.
And when they fall in, then people will figure out what to do.
Well, so there's a bit of history to this. These are 2 locations that Palm Beach County submitted to the TPA asking us to pay DOT to design and construct replacement bridges on county roads. They're county maintenance obligations, but the county said, wouldn't it be great if we used your funding in addition to our available resources and accomplished a little more maintenance faster? So we said, sure, we'll work our way through the process, but our federal dollars that we're giving the DOT to pay their bills don't let you use those money, those dollars on private property. The county has a more relaxed approach to use, to the use of county gas taxes and property taxes on maintenance of bridges. So we've agreed to turn over the design plans for these bridges to Palm Beach County and said, take the ball from here and run it across the finish line. Now, how quickly they do that is up to them.
That's, sure.
It now becomes their budget and funding availability and prioritization. It's not our, you know, not ours to finish.
Based on the project design, is it going to have to be acquisition, or is it going to be easements, or is it? I mean, again, you're going to have to essentially take this piece of property acquired one way or another.
So, what one of the issues with federalizing projects like this is you encumber, you have to play by all these additional rules. And you have to, one of the rules is don't spend money on private land. The other one is spend the money in the year that it's available. So our challenge was we identified this issue late in the design process. It was really, my opinion is it was not a foreseeable issue. Until you get into the design, submit the permit drawings that say you don't need to do anything on private property, and have the permit review agency, in this case Lake Worth Drainage District, say, oh yes, you do. We want you, in addition to the work you're doing on the bridge, we want you to reconstruct the canal banks here, here, and there in that guy's backyard. That's where we found a problem. Now, Palm Beach County, on their schedule, would be able to go and do the reconstruction of the bank through a temporary construction easement. They wouldn't have to get a permanent easement. They would have to follow federal right-of-way acquisition standards to do that. So they could do it a little faster and a little cheaper than we could at this point. I mean, ideally, you know, candidly, I'd love to just wave the wand and say, permit requirement, go away. Let's just build the bridges. But we weren't able to persuade the Lake Worth Drainage District folks that that was the best outcome.
Okay. Thank you. Similar occurrence for these video detection at signalized intersections. So a lot of those improvements are also on private property. So those were not eligible. So that's why it's reduced from 27 to 15 intersections. And then Congress Avenue from the C-15 canal to Atlantic was withdrawn from the city. That was not something that was approved by Palm Beach County, that people section. So they're going to revamp that, maybe submit in the future, and work more closely with Palm Beach County on getting a project there that will improve safety.
So what's the, you know, living there, I get a lot of different inputs. I understand why the city went through it, but what's the county's take on it?
I don't believe that they were okay with the lane reduction on there, that it's not appropriate, I guess, to have a lane reduction there. And that it is warranted to keep the amount of lanes. It would be their perspective, yes.
I'm going to modify that just like
okay, that's why you're here.
Yeah, so Palm Beach County said, We are not yet comfortable going from a six-lane road to a four-lane road as a permanent condition. If the city wants to do it as a pilot project to verify that the road will work acceptably during the peak season, during rush hour, or that at least we'll agree that the benefits of having that space usable for non-motorized purposes, safer corridor, more walkable, more bikeable, outweigh the delays that we experience in our cars during rush hour on given days of the week. If the city wants to do that as a pilot, we'll let you do it. We'll test it with you. If we all agree that it's a good outcome, then you can do it as a permanent condition.
But I think that was the whole intention initially, right?
Our funds can only be used to construct a permanent condition.
Got it. Did not realize that.
So, yeah, so that's where we went to the city and said, city, if you want to do this on a temporary basis and defer this application to a later year, we can reserve our funding for an outer year. You test it, confirm you want it, we'll give you the money to put it in permanent.
Without having to reapply?
It's semantics. At this point, we have funded every eligible project that has submitted to us for funding in the local initiatives program. So I'm not going to guarantee we would say you don't have to reapply, but I'm going to tell you your chance of success would have been very high if you're the city of Delray Beach.
Okay.
Yeah.
At least I know what I'm working with.
Thanks.
So these are the 2018 applications and their current status. So you can see the rank they're in, the applicant firm, and then what they were for a project. Their total cost, the score they received, and then their project status. So the ones in red there are ones that had eligibility issues and are not being recommended for the priority list. So they're not going to be anything approved for the priority list. We have $20 million available in federal funds for this program. And then the ones, I'll go into more detail, the ones that weren't on the list. Palm Tran did not have a letter of support from their county commission. Delray Beach needs to have an agreement in place with Palm Beach County for right-of-way, so that's a portion.
So that's just going to get knocked off the list?
Correct. Until they, that's, those are some bigger issues that need to be solved before they can.
And that's a letter just saying, hey, we support this? Or?
It's going to be a little more in depth for that, because in this section, the biggest portion of this is really the bridge. And so.
We don't want the bridge. We never agreed to the bridge. We just wanted the roadway.
Right. And that's the problem, is that it's a split section, and the bridge is a big portion of this.
Exactly.
So that's what's tough. So until that Delray and the county comes to an agreement on that and how that would work out.
Because the county is trying to force us to take over the bridge, I think, right?
Yeah. If you want to change it, they want you to own it.
And we don't want to change the bridge, though.
Well, we're getting into the nuanced details of a particular project.
And I just need to know so I know how to guide when I go back.
So,
why don't you have it off?
We can certainly follow up.
Cool. Thank you.
Okay. Here's the rest of those. No resolution from Wellington as well on the Greenbrier Boulevard. The St. Andrews Boulevard one for Boca Raton was for a shared pathway. It had some issues as well, design issues, and I think it was pretty limited in the space there, and then also I think the amount of staff time that Boca could dedicate towards it. So that was withdrawn from the city, and so that'd be worked out for a future application. And then Royal Palm Beach, La Mancha Ave to Okeechobee Boulevard was an extension of the roadway, and then also the sidewalk. And because it's such it's a roadway extension, it requires a more elaborate process than really what local initiatives program is geared towards. So they need to work with FDOT, we'd be the ones to administer this project on a PD&E bed and right-of-way cases that aren't really eligible for local initiatives. So with those ones that had those outstanding issues, we were able to really fund all the projects that came before us. None of them got dropped off the list from a scoring perspective. For transportation alternatives, we had a lot of applications as well, $3 million a year for this, and we had four proposed for inclusion on the priority list. One that was scored low enough to not be prioritized, and then we ran out of available funds, and then two that didn't have resolution support, and then one with design feasibility issues. Modifications for the existing projects on there, Tamarind Avenue for West Palm Beach. So this is a project that sort of ballooned in scope over the years. A lot of historic things in place at that area, Cameron Avenue. A lot of utility relocations, and there's the railroad right there. So a lot of issues that sort of delayed the delivery of that project, and those federal funds were withdrawn from by FDOT. They canceled the funding on that, and thus they go towards other priorities. That project's still going to move forward, but entirely local in funding. Dells Lake Sidewalks had a reduction in the total sidewalk length, so they submitted an application that had some places that already had sidewalks. So they're not going to redo those sidewalks. They are going to add ADA accessibility to those sidewalk locations, but that's why you see a reduction in the total sidewalk length. Anchorage Drive was a project submitted to us last year. The priorities have been changed for that city. for that project. So they withdrew their application on that.
Which drive is where?
Is that North Palm Beach, I believe?
Yes.
Yeah, Northern Palm. Yep. And that was going to be for multimodal improvements, bike lane. And then adding a project. So this is one that would be new to you all that you haven't seen before. Lake Worth Road from Rawlinson Drive to Palm Beach State College entrance. So this project, it was already scheduled for a resurfacing. And because the Anchorage Drive project was withdrawn, that frees up a little bit of funding that goes towards our county for transportation alternatives. And so we're proposing to use that money towards multimodal improvements on this section. So it's one of our most dangerous sections in the county. And so we're asking for additional funds from our transportation alternatives to be on this resurfacing to do some other types of roadway improvements to improve safety. And so that's scheduled for fiscal year 21. So the design of that will really be starting up very soon. And then here are those projects for the 2018 applications. And again, Palm Beach Tran, no resolution from the county commission. Withdrawn from the city for Boca Raton on south of 18th. They wanted FDOT to do this project, and FDOT doesn't do these smaller local transportation alternatives projects, so they may be submitted in the future. No resolution from Wellington, and then the last one, Delaware Beach, the Brent Bridge Loop, was not prioritized because of inadequate funds for the program, so they're ranked last. That's a very small portion, a very small segment for bike lanes and sidewalks. They came to you all last year for a project, and they were approved for their other projects. So there's still connectivity going on in those areas. This was a very small portion to add another piece of connectivity. That was not prioritized. Recommended for the prior list. And lastly is the SunTrail program. This is a statewide program and state money that goes towards non-motorized transportation on a specific designated SunTrail network. We had one in the system, the US 1 project from 25th to 42nd. The project was deleted though because the city needed to figure out a new typical section on there. And so once they figure that out, they can resubmit for funds for the SunTrail program. And I think that is it. So. And again, in your status report, they'll have the current status of all of our existing projects on there, but also the status of those ones that were applied to for this year.
I have a question. In your presentation on the local initiatives program, I saw a thing in Wellington on a path between Airport Drive and Greenview Shores Boulevard. That said no resolution.
Yes.
If it has red over in the project status, does that mean it's already been removed from the table 2 that was in our handout?
Correct.
And okay, already removed. That's fine.
Yeah.
That explains it.
Already removed. It would never be made in that list.
Okay.
Yep.
And then, since we have Nick here, in the package it also has the cost feasible TPA funded projects, and I've spoken to you about the extension of State Road 7 from 60th up to North Lake. It's showing under construction. Can anybody here give us a status of what's going on with that? Or you prefer not to, if it's in litigation? And I'll understand that.
I can tell you where we are.
Okay.
It's a political thing.
Well, I understand that.
Let me pull up my notes so I sent out a note to everybody on our staff this week so that we were all saying the same thing. So first off, the DOT awarded a contract for construction back in April. And selected a contractor in April and awarded the contract May 16th, executed it May 31st. So they have an agreement with the builder, with the road builder, to build the road. That's point one. Point two, they had a Northern Palm Beach County Improvement District permit that was issued during the design of the project. that they were notified in April was automatically terminated. So they're contesting that. But DOT said you can't do that. Our last extension said the permit is still good, we can construct the project. The Northern shouldn't have notified them that this permit was automatically terminated. But that would have stopped, not having that permit stops them from working on the piece from 60th to Northern. They have to have that permit. So DOT is working through the issue of reinstating that permit. That's point two. Point three, there was a District Court of Appeals on August 8th that ruled on the city's appeal of the Water Management District permit for the State Road 7 project. The opinion orders that the appeal, that the permit appeal is remanded back to an administrative hearing. So that's a bigger issue right now, because that permit, the Water Management District permit, is needed to do any work at all, widening the south piece from Okeechobee to 60th, or constructing the new road from 60th to North Lake. The state and the county filed a motion for rehearing, and we're in the process.
Because it had been to administrative law just once, right? And
yes.
And it appealed, and now it's going to go back to the process again?
Yes.
And so why was the Northern Palm Beach improvement firm?
Why was it automatically canceled?
Why was it canceled? Is it politics, or was it timing, or was it? That's very rare.
Yes.
For somebody that does it, I'm saying
so serious.
Very rare.
Yes.
Like it never happened. So if you deserve it.
Yeah, well, yeah. There,
and all we know is what we read. So
right. And I don't know much more than that. And I know the city entered an agreement with Northern to clean up to mitigate the existing drainage contamination from the Ibis Preserve drainage system. So one of the city's contentions was, you can't let State Road 7 drain into these lakes. They're already discharging bad water into grassy waters. And the hearing officer basically said, what do you mean? That's your job to clean the water. Yours and Northern's combined. Fix it. You can't use your failure to perform as a reason to object to someone else's right to utilize a drainage facility. So they worked it out so that they are fixing, mitigating correcting the drainage issue. But that agreement between the city and Northern said, by the way, don't give the state a permit for State Road 7. So that's kind of where we sit.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Just one note, Myron's not here.
Myron's not here.
So you're saying we're getting out a half hour, 45 minutes earlier?
At least.
We're trying to.
At least.
Minutes.
We need a motion for this.
So can I ask a question regarding the two Pomtran projects that were on there that where they just did not get past the county commission? They didn't agree to put it on as part of their application.
They just never brought it to the county. They never brought resolutions to the county. So their staff.
Pomtran wanted it, but the county.
The county never even saw it.
Oh, okay.
So staff, Pomtran staff had not submitted a resolution that you can go for adoption.
Okay.
There were not a lot of they have a lot of priorities going on, so I think they submitted, but they weren't close to, you know, I don't know if they're ready for it. So.
Okay.
All right. Any other comments? We need a motion.
So.
Second. Any other comments on this issue? No? All in favor, please. Aye.
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 Against? Nay. Passes. Thank you. Yeah, Robert. Yes. Okay. So 3A there is Robert's Rules of Order summary.
Probably have somebody from the administrative staff present this, because this is their specialty, and I don't know anything about it. So.
Hi, I'm Margie, I'm the executive assistant. We updated this quick guide, which we provided previously, twice already, but we updated this to be consistent with our bylaws, which state we have a new edition of Robert's Rules, which is the 10th edition. So this is more consistent language with that edition. The main ones for you guys, I think, maybe just the motion to table and the motion to postpone. So for tabling, it's only to table something within the meeting to hear something that is more pressing. So if there's an action item where the presenter needs to leave early, we can table one item to move on to the next, but it needs to be heard in the same meeting. If we need to postpone an item, we can postpone it to a specific date, or if we need to find out information and have staff establish when it needs to come back. So this is just a quick reference guide in case anybody has questions. Are there any questions right now?
Good job.
Thank you.
Sure. So summary points are the last few pages in your packet. I believe some of the bigger ones from the board. We approved the transportation improvement program for 19 to 23. You all are just all amendments that did that. And then also there was an informational discussion on impact fees. County talk a little bit, to TPA talk. So next steps on that is really the TPA requested more information, more data from the county and also our jurisdictions on impact fee revenues and where those are coming from different developments for transportation, transportation impact fee. So once we get all that, we plan on seeing where impact fees have been, the revenue has come from developments, and then compare that to where it's been spent. So what road projects, capacity projects have been spent in the county using these impact fees. So that's what we're looking to do next. That's about it, really. And there's some other points in there you can read on.
Okay. Any member comments? The next meeting is October 3rd, 2018. And
motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Trash, you're
what are you hit on?